I turned to her and said, "Ah, Miss Santiago, is it? Yes, come in." She stepped to just inside the door. "Close the door, please." She did so and stood there, clutching her purse in both hands. I was pleased. She was doing a much better job than I expected. Or else she really was afraid. I looked directly into her eyes, or as directly as I could through her glasses, and said, "I'll come right to the point, Miss Santiago. I saw you take something from someone's desk and put it in your purse." She made an attempt at appearing shocked.
"Oh, no, I didn't."
"Well, if I'm mistaken, then you won't mind showing me what's in your purse."
I...
"Miss Santiago, let me put it another way. Either I'm going to look in your purse, or the police are." Maria looked blank. "Your choice." She wasn't good at improvising, obviously, so I gave her a hint by holding out my hand. She looked down and mutely handed over her purse. I opened it and pulled out the CD player. I held it up. "This is a fairly expensive machine. I believe you can go to jail for stealing something like this." I waited for her reaction, but Maria was still stuck, so I gave her a lead. "Aren't you even going to apologize?" She blinked for a moment, then caught on.
I'm sorry.
"Sorry you got caught, maybe. Well, you're going to be sorrier." I put the player and the purse on the floor and picked up the receiver from the telephone on her desk. I was hoping she'd jump in and try to stop me, but she still needed help. I turned to her and said, "Can you think of any reason why I shouldn't turn you over to the police?" Still blank. I made it a little more obvious. "I'd be scared if I were you. Jail isn't a very nice place." Finally, she got it.
"Please don't call the police. Oh, God, I'm sorry, really."
It wasn't very convincing, but it was a start. Mr. Black gave her another hint. "I don't believe you, Miss Santiago. You'll have to do better than that." I sat back and looked at her as if I'd gotten an idea. "You know, if you can convince me that you're really sorry, I might let you go." She floundered.
"Well, I
turned back toward the phone. "But if you'd rather go to jail..." I started to dial. Finally, she woke up a little. She grabbed my shoulder.
"No!"
I turned back to her and waited. She went on, trying to sound convincing.
"I really am sorry, Mr. Black. Honest."
I waited for more, then shook my head as if disgusted and turned back to the phone. She actually managed to sound a little panicked when she stopped me again and said,
"Please, Mr. Black, I'm sorry. What can I do to convince you?"
That was what I'd been waiting for. I put down the receiver and turned back to her. I pretended to think for a moment. Then I said, "Well, for starters, you could beg my forgiveness." She started to reply, but I held up my hand to stop her and continued, "On your knees, Miss Santiago." Her eyes went wide behind her glasses. But I think she was glad to have some direction because she immediately fell to her knees in front of me. She looked up at me and said,
"Please forgive me."
Unfortunately, she smiled as she did so. Carol wasn't staying in character. I gave her a disdainful look. "You're not taking this seriously, Miss Santiago, but I can promise you that the police will, and it makes no difference to me whether you go to jail or not. Try again." More seriously this time, she said,
"I'm really sorry I stole the CD player, Mr. Black. Please forgive me."
I pretended to consider her performance, then shook my head and said, "You're still not convincing me. You're not really sorry." I waited a beat. "Get down on your hands and knees." Slowly, she did so, still looking up at me. "I think you need a lesson in humility, Miss Santiago. I want you to crawl all the way around the room." She looked a little shocked.
"Why?"
"Because I told you to. Go on." And after a moment, she did. The room wasn't very large. It couldn't have taken much more than 30 seconds for her to make a full circuit. But I enjoyed watching her cute little behind moving under the pleated skirt and the way her glasses slipped down her nose. When she returned to her starting point, I told her, "Turn around." When she had done so, I reached down and lifted her skirt, pulling it up over her hips. She reacted with indignation that was only partly feigned.
"No, what are you doing?"
she said, reaching back with one hand and pulling her skirt back down. I got up and went to crouch down in front of her. I was closer to her level, but she still had to look up at me from her position. "What am I doing, Miss Santiago?" "I'll tell you what I'm doing." I leaned closer and said, "Whatever I want to." I let that sink in, then continued, getting so close that our noses almost touched. "And if you want to stay out of jail, you'll do whatever I tell you to do. Is that understood, Miss Santiago?" It was right about here that she really seemed to begin to believe what was happening. Her eyes behind her glasses took on that same glazed, deer-in-the-headlights look that I'd seen before, and she hardly seemed to be breathing. After a long moment, her mouth opened slightly, and she whispered,
"Yes, Mr. Black."
"Yes, what?"
"Yes, I'll do whatever you tell me."
I kept my face right where it was and said, "Good. Now put your skirt back the way it was." And I waited while she reached back with one hand and then the other to pull her skirt back up over her hips.